chapter 3. Ultimately, we're going to try to get to Mark chapter 6. But this morning, after we left service, one of the best things happened. I got in the car with my wife after we talked about decorations. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all, I'll fill you in later. Yeah, that part of the drive. I can't believe you volunteered for me to do something that I didn't even know I was doing. I told her, well, I didn't know it either until I got up there. So, and then she corrected me on the night. I was saying Awana wasn't tonight. I was saying the ninth. So, am I sorry? God, didn't go over good either. Wow. I meant the ninth, next week. Yeah, no. I know. She said, no, it sounded like tonight. That's what she said. I'm married to you, and it sounded like tonight. And I was like, okay, good. So when we got past that, she said, I really got something really good out of your message. That's where the gold was, right? That's where the gold was. I was like, man, all right. She said, and I kind of drifted away for a little bit. And to me, as a preacher, that's one of the greatest things somebody can tell me about a message. Because when I go to hear somebody in revival, or, you know, like I've got a handful of preachers that if I hear they're preaching somewhere and I can make it to go there, I'm going to go and I'm going to listen. And it never fails when the word's really good and really anointed, they'll say something and my mind will run out. And I go down this trail and I'm pulling information. And I kind of just forget that they're even talking. And then I'll come back and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm back. So she said she did that this morning. And, you know, that was really good. But then she said, and you can tell she's married to a preacher now because she shares with me what it was, and it was awesome. And I'm going to share with you guys tonight a little bit about what this is all her. But she said, this is the cream on the top of the cake. She goes, if you want to use that, you can. Golly, y'all don't know. That's preaching gold right there. When you say, hey, go ahead, if you want to, you can take credit for that. It's in the Bible. Just go ahead and knock that out. So it was awesome. What an awesome ride home that was. But then it started my wheels turning, and I wanted to go back and look at it. I'm going to share with what. So this part of the message is from Melissa. So this is really, really cool. And it's big, too, by the way. There's a lot of big things took away from this morning's message. But go to verse 5. Go to verse 5 again. And it was so big, and if I get any of this wrong, you can stand up and correct me. Okay, another ride home tonight. All right. Chapter 3, verse 5. And when he looked around about, when he had looked round about on them with anger. See, I focused on the anger, right? Because he was upset because they of the hardness of their heart. Their withered heart, right? Scott pulled that up. That their withered heart. Okay, watch this verse 5. Being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. Look at this word right here. He looked on them with anger, being grieved. One of the first parts of grieving is anger. Amen? He wasn't. When I looked at that, and I'm being honest with you, when I first started reading that and I didn't hear her say it and the way God spoke it to her, and now it's kind of dealing with me this way, he wasn't angry like we get angry. He wasn't angry because he was there to save people. He was there to teach. He was there to heal, but they rejected him. He wasn't that angry. He was angry because it was the first step of grief, and grief is, let me read this definition to you, and maybe y'all can get with me on this right here, and I'll show you. It's deep sorrow, especially that is caused by someone's death, it's like you're overcome with grief. Listen to these words: sorrow, misery, sadness, and here's the word I pulled out the most: anguished. Anguished. His heart was broke. He wasn't mad like, I'm so tired of dealing with you guys. That's how we do.
I'm tired of going in there and wasting my time and doing what I do. That's not what he was doing. His heart was broke, almost like, let me kind of pull this thing right here. Have you ever had somebody you really love die? And you're sitting there trying to figure out, God, why? Why is this happening? And your heart's broke and you're mad, but you're mad because a big part of your heart's just been ripped out and destroyed. And now, I kind of relate it over too, is there are people that I deeply love who think what I do for Jesus is crazy. Amen? I get angry with them, but it's not an anger like I don't want to deal with them anymore. My heart is broken for them, that I want them to know the same Jesus that I know. Amen? And then it got me to thinking, look, let's go over real quick. You don't have to go with me, but in Isaiah 53, he speaks of this when he's talking about Jesus in the prophetic, 800 to 1,000 years prior to Jesus. Listen to what he said. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was... verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. Acquainted with grief. A description of your Savior, of when he was going to come and be on this earth, that he'd always be acquainted with grief. And you're thinking, when I first read that a long time ago and read that over, and I'm thinking, man, maybe he was grieving because of all the things that he would have to endure for himself. He was grieving over the fact that he was going to do all those things and he wasn't going to be accepted. Man. So then when you go over here to Mark chapter 3, he's in the synagogue. He's with Jewish people. He's with the people that he came to save. And when he was about to heal a man that had a withered hand, he really wasn't there to save or heal the man with a withered hand. He was there to save them from their sins. But he was rejected. And he went into a place of grief. And you know what I believe? I believe if the church would tap in to anguish and grief, we would have one of the greatest ministries that we've ever seen. David Wilkerson, who started so many great ministries, Teen Challenge is one of the greatest ministries he started. Do you know how he started Teen Challenge? He was walking through New York City and felt under such grief and despair and anguish over drug-addicted people and broken people that he fell into an abandoned building and began to cry out to God and pray that God would give him some kind of place to help addicted people. And that's where Teen Challenge was birthed. It's one of the biggest recovery operations in the whole world. He said he never done anything in ministry that wasn't, that he never done anything great in ministry that wasn't birthed in anguish or grief. Guys, we're never going to do anything great for God until our heart's broken over the condition of the people that we love. Amen? And I thought, man, what a great takeaway this morning was from that message. And I wanted to share that with you guys. I don't know if that helped you or put you somewhere, but that really helped me. I love when people get stuff out of the Word, because you can't, in a 40-minute message, you can't pour out everything you got. It's just impossible. So to have that pulled away, man, ask God for a grieving heart and a broken heart to do a great work for God. Amen? Is that good? Let's go to Mark chapter 6, and I'm going to do this. Even this is going to be an add-on to this morning's message as well. I titled this, Even Jesus. This even happens to Jesus. I'm not going to keep you too long tonight. I promise you that. I'm going to try to go as fast as I can. But I want y'all to get this, because this is, if you're going to do anything in ministry, Wednesday night and Sunday night's usually your core groups of people that love the church, love Jesus, and are going to be here, okay? So I'm preaching to the people that should be saved, amen. If you're not, do that work, amen. But if you're going to be involved with Christ and you're going to share the gospel, you're going to want to see lives changed for the kingdom of God, you're going to need this information right here, okay? And if it happened to Jesus, you can go ahead and mark it down. It's going to happen to you, okay? And he went out from thence. Are y'all seeing that? Mark 6:1. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. Man, I'm kind of doing this like Jesus tonight. I'm not Jesus, I know that. But I'm the under-shepherd here, and you guys are disciples and believers in Jesus Christ. Jesus went back to his hometown, and he took his disciples, and he's like, you guys need to see this too, okay? The miracles, the healings, the matter of fact, right above that, if you go right above that tonight, if you get any time, go right above that in chapter 5. He just raised a little girl from the dead, okay? God, are y'all good? Y'all just let this just soak. Could you imagine? I don't even know if that was a good word. Imagine, could you imagine seeing a dead person come to life? Could you imagine going down to the funeral home and Jesus just walking in and going, nah, they're just sleeping. And everybody in the funeral home would go, you're nuts. They go, hey, get up. I mean, you can read in the scripture where the disciples got the opportunity. They intersected a funeral in progress. Jesus went by and touched this casket. Boy, come back to life. That's what they're coming from. They're coming from revival. Listen, guys, I'm kind of helping you right here. There are going to be times when you are going to feel like you're coming from revival, and you are going to be hit by reality of the coldness of God, the coldness towards God, the rejection of God. I wish somebody preached like this to me. There have been times in my life that I have been on spiritual high. I'm talking about rock'em sock'em meetings. I'm talking about Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, life-changing, salvation, stuff you can't explain. Come home, go to your own church, your own ministry, and go, wow. Come into your own home, around your own people, and it's like death. Amen? And it's like somebody just pats out the spiritual fire that's in your life. Because you're expecting that just to jump off of you and onto them, right? That's kind of how we think everything's going to work out. Like, I'm on spiritual fire. Everybody else is going to be that way. You find out real quick, no, they've got the buckets of water to douse you real quick, right? And that's what Jesus is so cool in this, because they're coming from that, they're rolling into chapter 6, they're going into this, and he's like, man, we just raised all these people, this girl from the dead, let's go to my hometown, where I'm raised. I want to show you real quick reality, and I'm Jesus, all right? He's Jesus. Watch this right here, verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? Stop! He just raised a little girl from the dead yesterday. These dudes are tripping down the road. This is wonderful. This is great. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Tambourines going pop, 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 pop. Yeah, I said tambourines in the church. It's all right. Amen. Praise God. And they walk up into his home. He walks up to the synagogue. Listen, all 12, even Judas, are sitting there going, man, he's about to blow this place up. Go on, Jesus, get him. Takes the book of Isaiah, the scroll of Isaiah, goes up to the little pulpit area and rolls out the scroll of Isaiah. And they're like, not, hey, man, this guy's a great teacher. Oh, man, he seems to have power. Who in the world does he think he is? Could you imagine Peter, James, and John and him on the front row? Like, what this guy right here, he makes the lame walk. He makes the blind see. He sat down. God, I wish I could preach all night right here. He sat down in the first part of the gospel on the Sermon on the Mount and preached a message that every preacher on the face of this planet can only preach segments of it. You go and look at the Sermon on the Mount. Most preachers don't ever touch the whole volume. That was a one-time setting with Jesus. He sat down and taught and preached that whole thing. And at the end of it, it says, the person that listens and hears this is the one who builds on solid ground. And the other ones are like the ones that are building on sinking sand. That wasn't just a one-off man. That was the whole volume. I'm a preacher. I have never in my life, and nor never will, preach the whole Sermon on the Mount in one setting. Matter of fact, most people couldn't endure it. I don't even know what that looked like. Could you imagine the Sermon on the Mount? That's 3-4 hours, maybe longer. And Jesus just standing there teaching. And guess what? These guys have experienced every bit of that. But he walks up in the synagogue in his own hometown, and they're like, who in the world does this guy think he is? You need to know this. If it can happen to Jesus, it'll happen to you. Amen? Oh, and I love what they do. This happens everywhere. Watch this right here. And he began to teach in the synagogue from whence this man knows these things. Okay, here's the question. What wisdom is this which is given unto him that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Verse 3, this is so good. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Jose, and of Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Goodness, listen, put right down there verse 3. Some of you radicals in here that love to serve the Lord, on verse 3 right there, make a note beside that. If they're going to bring up Jesus' family and past, they're going to bring up yours too. Amen? I'm serious. Write that. You might want to make a note right there, because we seem like, as Christians, a lot of times, we get blown out of the water because somebody comes and says, who do you think you are? I know where you was raised. I know what you done. I know who you was. I know your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle. I know who you just think you don't. You forgot how you was raised. Why you think you're any better than us? Amen? If it happened to Jesus, it's happened to you. He had 12 apostles there, the 11 disciples. They were sitting there going, I guarantee they're taking mental notes. And if they're wearing him out, I don't even know if I'm going to do what he does. But my gosh, if they're wearing him out, this is the same guy who walked on water. This is the same guy who raised Lazarus from the dead. This is the same one who made blind Bartimaeus unblind Bartimaeus. Praise God. They're going to attack him. You better know. Somebody's going to do it. Somebody, probably somebody you love. Probably somebody you've grew up with. Probably somebody you care a lot about. Because the wounds that come from people, a lot of times the ones that really get down and really hurt the most are the people who know you and you love the most. Probably somebody you've been praying for. Probably somebody like, man, I want them to be saved. Have you ever been hurt by somebody that you want to be saved so much that you almost forgot how bad you want them to get saved? I've been there a couple times. I'm about to think about stop praying for you. I might be the only person praying for you. Right? Goodness gracious. Y'all are so spiritual. I know y'all don't think like that. I've got some family members. They try my spirituality. They try my faith. Amen? They said it. Some kind of preacher you are. I get that in a lot. Oh, you think you're some kind of preacher. I'm like, no, I do not. All right, y'all good? They were offended. Man, could you imagine if they're offended in Jesus? It's almost like we're embarrassed. Man, we don't like, you embarrass us. You offend us. Man, write that down. It's going to be there for you too. Verse 4, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and is among his own kin, and his own house. Thank you for the cheat code, Jesus. Amen? Golly, guys, listen to me. That's cheat code stuff. Put that along in your phone, in your notes. Go down in your notes and make a note right there on your phone. It says, look, a prophet is without honor in his own country, among his own kin, and look, in his own house. So when you get attacked in those three places, you're not sitting there going, why in the world is this happening? You can just go, praise God, I knew it. Jesus was right again. Amen? He was right again. Oh, praise God. I'm going to keep rocking on for Jesus. Amen. Can I give y'all another help right here? Can I just give y'all a little add-on help right here? Some stuff, a wisdom arrow from Kevin right here. You want one? Here's one my daddy taught me. He said, listen, Kevin, here's how I have to do it sometimes. If somebody I love a lot has a lot of animosity towards me and I can't really seem to get them because they knew my past or they knew where I was from or they was raised with me, here's what I do. I go after somebody that I don't know and I pursue them like that was my cousin or my brother or my relative that I love so much, but they got a lot of animosity towards me, and I go after them like I'm going after that person, and I pray that God will send somebody like me after the person I love. Amen. Man, that was good, man, because God dropped that on my spirit when my dad said, hey, I go after this person over here to prison, like that's my brother. And you know what I did? I'm like, then I see what you're doing. Amen. See, what the enemy wants you to do is say, well, if you can't even succeed at home, if you can't even succeed with your kin, how are you going to go tell somebody else? But you know yourself, it's easier to talk to somebody you don't know about Jesus than it is somebody you've known your whole life. Amen. So there's an arrow of wisdom right there. Just go out and spread it and share it. And you know what? Just pray. Just pray. Somebody who walks up to your daddy or walks up to your mama or walks up to your whoever it is in your family, that uncle, that spurt, and they just wear them out with Jesus. And you sit over there, well, I didn't sin them. I did, but not intentionally. All right, verse 5. And he could there do no mighty work. Verse 5, let's stay right there. Go slow. Look at this right here. Y'all look at this verse 5 with me. And he, who's he? Okay. So y'all make sure you got this. And he could there do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Who? Jesus. Only helped a few. Okay, Jesus is Jesus. You're going to seem ineffective sometimes. Is that okay? Especially around people that know you the most and seem like they would hear you the most and love you the most and expect you the most. Man, I've got to go back to my hometown one time in ministry. One time. My name was on the marquee at the biggest church in my hometown. My hometown's got one red light and the church is not that big. Matter of fact, our church is bigger than that church. But man, I was telling my wife, I said, man, look, my name's on the marquee right there. She's like, look at that, ain't that cool? And he said, yeah. He said, you know what, the last time when I went by here, I went by here in the back of a patrol car. That's the last time I remember coming by the First Baptist of Benton, Tennessee. I remember looking, and here, there's my name right on the front line right there. That's one of the few times I've got to go back and preach and teach in my hometown. You know what God told me? It ain't for you. That's not your place. Somebody else, I'll bring somebody else from somewhere else back there to preach and teach, and they'll hear them. You know, when you get up in that pulpit or when you get up there to preach, you know what they're going to say? I drank with that guy. I've lied to that guy. I've told stories I've been doing with that guy. I know who he is. I know his brother. I know his mama. I know his daddy and them. Amen? But you know what? I've been sent to Arkansas, Indiana, Florida, and right here in Saudi Daisy, Tennessee, and people say, I don't know who that guy is. He's pretty crazy, though. Amen. Got it. See how that works. Even Jesus, right, could know the mighty works. A few sick folk, and he healed them. Verse 6. And he marveled. Here's this that word again. Watch this right here. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. Now, did you see that? Listen, there's only a few places in the whole Bible that it says Jesus does this right here. He literally marveled at how they didn't believe. He literally sat down and was like overwhelmed at looking and going, wow, I want to do some amazing things here in my own home region. But they can't get over who I was instead of who I am. Amen? Ain't that amazing? This is a well, man, I'm telling you right now, when God puts His stuff in the Scriptures, there's a couple things in the Scriptures, not more than a couple, many things in the Scriptures, that I think, man, if somebody would have expounded on that and taught on that and kind of exposed me to that when I was a young believer, it would have helped me so much. And this is one of them. Expect, when you're coming from spiritual highs, to not be surprised when you get hit with spiritual reality. Amen? When you get hit by unbelief and people who want to throw water, cold water. And don't even be surprised when you leave great works of God into great tests from God. Amen? Is that, y'all might want to need that right there. When you leave great works of God than to be followed up in great tests of God. I think that's another thing that even in 2020 and 2021 as a modern church we struggle with, is we have a hard time applying or making application of sermons into actions. Amen? We're constantly feeding on sermons, but when a month goes by, 2 months goes by, 3 months go by, we're always surprised that things have happened. But I'll sometimes go back and go, wait a minute, I preached about this, or I heard this being preached, and I'm experiencing this, right? So sometimes we're not getting fed for the moment. We're getting fed for the future. Amen? So anyway, let's all stand.